Hello, this is Larry Goins, and welcome to the biweekly Q&A calls for Inner Circle students. How is everyone doing tonight?
Great.
It's fine.
Excellent. I already checked. We got quite a few people on here. So if this is your first time joining us, welcome. I'm really glad you're here. I really appreciate your business. And looking forward to hearing your success stories. And the purpose of these calls is it's not training, it's not education. I don't have an agenda. The purpose is to be able to talk with me live on the phone and get any specific questions answered that you have. Sometimes people just sit back and listen, and sometimes people have a lot of questions. So I'll be on here as long as it takes. So with that said, does anybody want to jump in and have a question you'd like to get answered?
Yeah, this is Stephen Myers. I have a question.
Hey, Stephen, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I am doing good. I got a little concerned about you. I didn't get an email from you there for a day or so.
I was trying to give your fingers a rest.
I hear you, man. I'm just giving you a hard time. But listen, you send over as many questions and as many emails as you need, and I'm sure you can see already that I answer them pretty much pretty quick, don't I?
You do. You do, and I really appreciate it.
Sure, man. It's my pleasure. It's what I do. So how can I help you?
I wanted to talk just briefly about the two of the things that I think I need to get better at, and those are getting better at estimating the ARV more precisely and getting better at estimating the rehab estimates, because I get the sense that's one of the main ways to sniff out a deal by comparing what I'm paying versus what the property's worth after I've paid for it.
That's a really good point. So let's start with the ARV. Okay?
Yes.
Let's start with the ARV. Several things you can do. You can run over to Zillow or Trulia. Well, first of all, what you do is you Google the address, okay?
Right.
And then you can run over to Zillow or Trulia, which is going to be probably the first and second link that pops up. And you're going to scroll down. You're going to look at the price history. And you're going to see what the property was listed for, how many days it's been on the market, how many price reductions it's had, and all those similar things. And then you're also going to see a little bit below that, you're going to see comparables for sale and comparables sold, or sold comps. So when you look at the sold comps, that's going to be all the different houses around your subject house and what they have sold for. And on Zillow, it will also tell you, you know, like this first comp has one fewer bathrooms, you know, and 200 square feet less or whatever. So you want to look at all those and kind of get a good general idea as to what the value of the property is.
Okay.
Now, if you have a subscription service like RealQuest, you can pay it, there's a monthly fee for it. I can't remember how much it is. But they'll give you a little bit more in-depth comps and more similar, I shouldn't say similar, but a little bit more in-depth comps. And that's a service like what an appraiser or something would use. But that's a paid service. You don't necessarily have to have that, but, you know, it's good. You could check into that if you wanted to. Now,
you said that was real. You said that was RealQuest.
RealQuest, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you're going to pull the comps. You're going to look at all the pictures in detail. Okay. And now we're getting into the rehab, but still in the comps, but or still in the ARV. But you're going to look at the pictures in detail. Look at every picture. Zoom in if you need to. You know, does it look like there's a stain on the ceiling? Does it look like there's a hole in the wall? You know, what does the area look like? And then you're going to drive the street on Google Earth. You're going to see what's around the house. Is it in the neighborhood? Is it right near a commercial zone? Is it across the street from a cemetery? Is it across the street from a trucking company? You know, just a lot of different things like that. and then you're going to conservatively come up with a number based on all that data as to what you think the after-repaired value is, okay? And then you're going to get a general idea as to what the amount of repairs are based on the pictures. Now, if you talk to the realtor, you're just going to ask the realtor, you know, what do you think it's going to take to fix this property up, just a ballpark? You know, they might say something along the lines of, well, it depends. Are you going to rent it out or are you going to fix it up? You know, I would probably ask them next is, well, let me ask you a question. Would this be a better rental property or better to do a fix and flip? If they say a fix and flip, say, well, that's the way I'm going to fix it up. What do you think it would take to fix it up? And then they'll give you an idea. If they say $5,000 to $10,000, you're going to use 10. If they say 10 to 15, you're going to use 15. Okay?
Okay.
So now you've got your after repaired value and you got your amount of repairs. You take your ARV times 0.65. You can do 70 possibly. You're in Alabama, so I would do 6.5 because there's a lot of properties on the market in Alabama. Okay?
Okay.
So I would do times 0.65, all right? If you really wanted to be conservative, you'd do times 0.6. So let's say, just say you're using 6.5. You take the ARV times 0.65, then you're going to minus out your repairs, and then you're going to minus out probably around $1,500 for closing cost, and then you're going to subtract out what you want to make. And the number that's left is exactly what you can pay for the property. Did that help?
Yes, sir. Now, one quick question of clarification. On the repairs, I encountered a property over the weekend that looked like a really good deal. And when I talked to the realtor, she said, well, this didn't show, this was a HUD house, and it did not show up on the property condition report. But she said, well, the house is termite infested, and there's a swimming pool in the back that needs to be repaired or filled in. So I didn't know how to handle that one from a rehab cost standpoint, so I just dumped it. But I agree,
especially on your first few deals. I would definitely kind of let that one go probably.
Okay.
Now you've been very busy since you left my office a couple of weeks ago. I mean, you've been doing really well. You still have that first deal under contract that you got under contract for $6,000 or something?
Well, I misunderstood. The realtor sent me back a contract that had all the details filled in, including a closing date and other details. But then later I found out, you're under negotiations now. And so I think they counteroffered at like 17, and the highest I thought I should go based on internet research plus talking to you was about 7,000. So we're about 10,000 off the bank IR on that one.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it was still under negotiating. I thought you actually got the property.
I thought so too, and that's just, I guess, due to my newness of the whole process. Sorry about the misunderstanding there.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay.
So, but I've made about 15 offers. It takes a little while to find a property that seems like it's worth making an offer on.
It really does. It takes a little while. And when you're in an area like Alabama like that, you know, where you have a whole lot of properties on the market, you need to be a little bit more selective. That's just my own opinion.
Right. Understood completely. Yes. I really appreciate the 3-day training. It's highly motivating, and I feel really equipped to go out and do some bidding. So I've been doing quite a bit of that.
Good. Have you been primarily bidding on HUD?
I just finished reading your HUD book last week, and so I just started bidding on HUDs. I've mostly been bidding on bank-owned properties.
Oh, okay, good. Two of my favorite ones, HUD and bank-owned properties.
Yeah, your HUD half-off book was real helpful. I appreciate that.
Good. Be sure and go and look at the updates, too, because there have been some updates.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely do that. I noticed in your HUD book that you talk about condos and townhomes. I hadn't been bidding on those up until now.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of them. If you do, you need to keep your percentage offer low.
Okay. Got it.
Good.
Hey, one more quick question before. Who would you recommend for a CPA, or who do you use for a CPA?
My guys are really good. Brandon Smith and Key Shin, smithandshin.com, I believe it is. It might be .net, but I believe it's .com. Smith and Shin, they're located in Greenville, South Carolina. They used to be based out of Florida, but they do business in all 50 states. So hold on, I'll look up their number because everybody on the call needs to talk to them as well. Okay? Let me look up their number. It's Key, K-I, and Shin is spelled S-H-I-N. Their office number is 864-322-8995. That's 864-322-8995. And you can tell them that Larry told you to call because they work with a lot of my students, and they know me well.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question you want to throw out?
Yes, Larry, I do. This is Tushar Desai from Columbia, South Carolina.
Great.
And I'm working with Randolph right now, and I'm supposed to contact some real estate agents here in the local area. I've contacted one agent, but then I'm to leave a message for another one, but they haven't called me back yet.
Right.
My question is,
and that'll happen.
Yeah, I'm sure. But what should I tell them? How much information do I need to give them? I'm going to go into detail as far as a formula for after repaired value and all that? No.
You don't want to tell them. I mean, think about this. If you call up a realtor and you say, basically what I'm looking to do is take the after repaired value times 0.65 and minus out repairs and minus out $10,000 profit.
Yeah.
So I can make, and that's my maximum offer. If you do that, you're just going to scare them right away.
Right.
Yeah, so don't even do that. You know.
So how much information should I give them so they know what I'm looking for?
I would just
for?
Say, look, I'm looking for something I can build some sweat equity in. I need a property that's either a motivated seller, a bank, or foreclosure, or a short sale, or something that needs some work done to it, where I can get a get a good deal out of it and have some sweat equity built into it.
I don't want to go into too much detail. That just scare them off, and I guess.
Right. You don't want to give them too many details.
Okay, gotcha.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I've been also working on my buyer's list. And I'm a licensee, so I do have access to MLS, which is a little bit helpful.
Good.
Although I don't. Buy and sell. I'm not an agent that does it for a living. I just got my license for investment purposes.
Good.
About 10 years ago. So, but it was a clever way of getting the buyer's list. Just tracking down and researching for cash closings.
That's right. For everybody else on the call, what he's talking about is you can research and find transactions that have closed that were cash transaction. And you can use those to build your buyers list, especially if you can find out that they were non-owner occupant buyers.
Exactly. And, of course, you have to take that information and then go search on, the county website, the property research site, and find out who the owner was. And then you have to go on the Register of Deed website and figure out that. But, it's a little process, but it's a good way of getting some cash buyers. So, I guess in the last 2 weeks I've got maybe like 96 buyers now. Who knows if all are still good or not? Some
That's
have like
great.
Four or five.
Now, here's the other thing too. If you have the company name, like XYZ Investments, you can look up at the Secretary of State. You can find out who the registered agent is, get their name and phone number, and then you can call them.
Right, yes.
Hey, I noticed you were buying some properties, over on Oak Avenue. I'm a wholesaler. I got some properties in the area. You want me to put you on my buyer's list.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah. But I think this is a good way of, I guess, doing it. I never thought about getting a buyer's list first and then getting the property, so I guess that's a good way of doing it.
It's a great way of doing it, and I tell people, work as hard building your buyer's list as you do finding properties, but also make sure anytime you get a property under contract, what you're going to do is put out foreclosure signs out in the neighborhood, run ads on Craigslist, and all those people you're going to put on your buyer's list for all future deals.
Now, and I guess my main fear is that if I do get them under contract and say I have 30 days to close, I need to find a buyer within 30 days, and I guess sometimes that makes me nervous. But then again, I think, well, if they have a good enough deal, it should get sold to somebody. So
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. But if you don't have a buyer in 2 weeks, you call me. I'll sell it for you.
Okay. All right. Okay, that's a big leap. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, and plus I'm sort of in your area, and Columbia's not too far from where you are.
Oh, yeah, man. I need some more deals down that way.
Let me find some first.
I just bought a house off of auction. Last week, the house was listed for like 169, it dropped to 149, 139, 129, like 119, 109, 99. It got all the way down to 69.
Uh-huh.
And then they started auctioning it off at homesearch.com. And
okay.
I bid on it, and I was the high bidder, and I bid $31,000. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath, brick ranch house, 2,900 square feet. Okay.
Wow.
The comps in the area are 120 to 160.
Wow.
And I got it for $31,000. Now, check this out, guys. I got it for $31,000, but the reserve was not met. Two weeks later, I get an email from HomeSearch saying that the seller has accepted your bid, although it did not meet the reserve. So now I got this house, $31,000, and it needs $20,000 to $30,000 in work, and it'll be worth $120,000. We're going to wholesale it for $45,000, I believe.
Wow. Okay. And what is that? HomeSearch.com.
HomeSearch.com. It's a it's an auction site, but you got to pay on cash. I mean, you know, they don't care where you get
right.
the money, but you got to either have a proof of funds, you got to have a hard money lender lined up. Private money lender, transaction funding, something. And
but do you have to be a registered agent, or you can be in?
No, I'm not an agent, but I ran everything through Wendy in my office.
Okay.
So she got paid 1%, which was,
sure.
you know, not much money, $310. Why is it on the
HomeSearch.com. Okay, I'll write that
HomeSearch.com, yeah. And Auction.com, too, is probably the biggest. But I'm not as excited. Well, Auction.com is the biggest. But Auction.com, they either bid the properties way up, or if
right.
they don't, they just relist them right away. And I don't like that. In fact, there's a lot of people on their forum complaining about that.
Okay. All right, well, Larry, thank you. I'll let someone else talk.
Then. You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question for me?
Hey, Larry, this is Steven. I want to wait for other folks to ask a question, but if
hey, man, if nobody pipes in, you're welcome to jump right in there. You're not stepping on any toes as long as nobody's jumping in.
Okay. So I was checking out some vacant properties in my neighborhood this past weekend, and I was able to run most of them to ground, but one of them I had some trouble finding out, you know, how to find the owner. I talked to the neighbors. One of the neighbors said that they believe the owner passed away. He said a few years ago. I looked at the, property appraiser's website. It did indicate that the property was about a year behind in taxes.
Uh-huh.
I used the Filthy Riches bookmark system that you provided with that to do various people searches.
Uh-huh.
Could not track the guy's heirs down. What would you think would be the next step in trying to find the owner?
Is this a vacant house that you saw in a neighborhood by driving the street?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, so, and it's been vacant for how long?
Here, guys.
The neighbor told me 5 years, but I find that hard to believe. I think the property appraiser's website indicates that it's not that behind in back taxes, but...
Okay, but here's the other thing. Here's some things you could do, okay?
Okay.
First thing is look in the mailbox. I didn't tell you to do that. Don't take anything in it. Just take a picture of it with your smartphone if there's any, you know, any specific names or anything like that on it, okay?
Okay.
Next thing is look on the online to see where the tax bill is being mailed. Who is the tax bill being mailed to? Because if it's been vacant 5 years and it's only 1 year delinquent in taxes, somebody's getting the tax bill.
And when you say online, do you mean the property appraiser's website or is there another?
Right, the tax assessor's website.
Okay.
And the next thing is to talk to all the neighbors and ask them if they know who owns it, who the family is, if they have any contact information. Because a lot of times people will tell the neighbors, hey, let me know if you see anybody snooping around my house.
Right. Yeah, I did talk to one of the neighbors, but I could definitely go back and talk to the rest of them.
I would talk to all the neighbors. And I would do some online research. And two other things I'm going to tell you could do. You can hire an investigator. You can pay like $75 to do a background check and find information. Okay? Do a skip trace. That's probably
okay.
A better word for it, to do a skip trace. Okay?
And you can do that even on a deceased person, I guess, huh?
Well, you don't really need it on the deceased person, but if you know who their heirs are, you know,
okay.
You could even find out, like, one time I bought a house where the people were deceased. And one of the neighbors said, one of their sons works over at the local grocery store. So I went over there and I asked for a guy of the same last name. And he came out from in the back. He was working in the produce and came out and met me. And I told him exactly what I was there for. And he ended up, it was heir property like that where the sons and daughters owned it. And I paid him each $1,000, but I paid him $2,000 because he helped me track everybody else down.
Okay.
So, and the very last thing I'm going to tell you to do is put a for sale by owner sign in the yard, and they'll find you.
I thought about that. The only thing there is with the guy being deceased, his relatives don't. I heard it's one relative's in Birmingham and one's in Atlanta, but they may have some way of knowing. Maybe they come by from time to time. I don't know, but it's worth checking out.
Well, have you done a search to find out people living in Birmingham with that last name or that name?
I have, but it's so common. It's Miller.
Oh, okay. Yeah, unless you have a full name, including a middle name as well, or a middle initial, it might be a little tough. But, you know, somebody doing a skip trace could find that out for you.
Yeah, those are great ideas. I'll put those into practice this week.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck with it. Let me know how it goes.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Larry.
Awesome. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've got almost this is Rob in Columbus. I've got almost the exact same situation, a house down the street from me, but I do know the guy did pass away. The only relatives I've been able to trace were his parents, who are also deceased. I even was able to look in. You know, I found them through like the hometown newspaper article and got their names because I saw where they had lived, and they lived in Delphos, Ohio, the same place. And then, according to the neighbor, the bank is waiting a year for it to be vacant in case anybody comes forward. So it appears that because when he passed away, no one missed him, and. It was a while before they found him, so that told me right away that he must not have had friends or family. And then that seems to be the case. So I'm trying to find, is it worth writing a letter to the bank's REO and see if when that's going to come up or maybe even preempt it that year somehow?
Well, I don't think that's going to help you, because right now the bank is just a debtor. And unless the property has already been foreclosed on and the bank owns it, right now the bank is just a debtor, and you were just an outsider trying to get information, and they won't tell you anything.
Right. So
one
you have to
you
wait
can
until
do,
they start a foreclosure?
I'm sorry?
So you have to wait until they start a foreclosure? Just keep an eye out for that?
Yeah, or you could ask them about doing a short sale maybe.
Oh, yeah.
But the only problem is if the borrower is deceased, you know, I'm not sure how that would work in trying to do a short sale. You know, you might want to maybe do some research in the local paper.
Mm-hmm.
You might even have to call them if they don't have their archives online. And if you can get a copy of the obituary, you can see where it says, you know, survived by, you know, a son, a daughter, a brother, whatever.
Right.
That'll help you too, Stephen.
You're responsible for the information.
So, yeah, that's what I would do.
Okay. And if there's no one, just kind of got to keep an eye out for it maybe to see when the bank, I guess their next step would be foreclosure if no one comes forward?
It probably would, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you could also maybe speed up the process to find out who owns it now by putting a for sale sign in the yard also.
Yeah, I've seen people over there. Like, I actually talked to a guy one time that the bank had sent out.
How would you like to make up $56,000 per deal on Rolfes?
Okay. All right, does anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
You can hear me? Okay, great. This is Bob from Ohio. We're getting ready to put out some bandit signs.
Great.
Now, is one place better than another? And, you know, how should I research where to put them?
I wouldn't think too hard on it. I would just put them wherever the cars are, wherever the traffic is.
Wherever
people
the traffic
going in and
is.
out of, you know, businesses, intersections, anything like that. Vacant
Perfect.
Lots, vacant houses, because the city is not going to tell you to come take them down. If it's
right.
on a vacant lot, it could stay there for a year or two.
Okay.
But I wouldn't overthink it. I would just get me a couple hundred and start putting them out.
That's what we're doing.
There you go.
Great.
Good.
All right, thanks.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Who's next? Anybody have a question?
I've got another one. This is Rob again.
Hey, Bob.
I was looking at some leads today, and the guys I'm working with, they don't do anything in Mansfield, Ohio. And my next thought was maybe I could use Craigslist to advertise for, you know, someone that might be looking for a property that way, and then if I can find someone, maybe get it in contract and assign it, if I can, you know, make enough money on it that way.
Well, you could do that, but that's a little bit, that's going through a lot of work, not even knowing if you can negotiate a deal that's good enough for it to be a good deal for another investor. So my thought
right.
is...
Right, well, I guess I would do that first, yeah.
Yeah, I would do it the other way. I would go ahead and negotiate the deal, get the deal under contract, you know, maybe put up a $10 or $50 deposit or something, and then make it assignable, and then you start running your ads and you put signs around it. How far is that from you?
About 50 minutes.
That's all? Man,
yeah.
Just drive down there and put you some foreclosure signs all around the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. We're doing deals in many different – I shouldn't say many. We're doing deals in four or five different states right now, and we're not looking at any of them. If it's too far away from us, like we had a closing in Alabama today, and we sold the house off of a foreclosure sign where we ran an ad on Craigslist and told somebody to or ran it out on Craigslist and said, you know, get paid to put out signs. and I can't remember how much we paid them, $100 or something. But they put out, you know, about 10 or so foreclosure signs all around the neighborhood. And we sold the house, closed on it, never saw it. And it's in Alabama.
So you're saying if I got it in contract to then do that?
Say that again?
So you're saying if I got it into contract, then use the foreclosure signs?
Yeah, use signs that say foreclosure and have the price on them and have your phone number.
Right, okay. I did negotiate. I got a deal from a bank last Friday. They're a small bank in Defiance, Ohio, and they're just getting ready to open a branch, I found out, in Dublin, where I'm at. And he said they held this house about as long as you're allowed to, and I found out today it was 4 years, but it needs new electric and plumbing, but the outside it looked pretty good, really, and they had it all cleaned up. They wanted $20,000 for it, and I offered them $9,500, and they took it.
Wow. There you go.
It's after repair value is probably 55 or 60.
That doesn't sound like a bad deal. How much repairs does it need?
About 15 to 20.
Yeah, okay. What are you going to do with it?
Well, I thought we were going to wholesale it, but I think the guys are they want to keep it and make it a rental now. They're looking for more rentals.
Uh-huh. Did you talk to your guys that you're working with about setting up a HUD model?
Yes, I did.
How'd that go over?
It was the first day, and there was a lot of activity going on. We had been down to Tampa, so the one guy was talking to a maintenance guy, and I was talking to the other guy. It's kind of loud in there, but I ran it by him kind of quick there, and he's like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. So, as a matter of fact, today he asked me, he said, well, have you mastered HUD yet? I said, not yet, but I'm getting on it.
There you go, man. There you go.
So he seemed so eager for it, and then I started thinking maybe 30% wasn't enough. Maybe I should have said 50, you know, but I don't know what.
There you go. That's good, man.
Maybe no man didn't hear me.
And you guys got a lot of HUD houses up there, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's great. That is great. We're getting ready to have a two-day HUD event in May. It's going to be nothing but HUD. And I'm trying to get an asset manager from one of the, like from PIMCO or Ofori to come at it, come attend. We're going to have a HUD attorney there. We're going to do a HUD closing. We're going to make HUD offers. We're going to analyze deals. You know, it's going to be nothing but HUD. I'm going to have my VAs presenting as well on what they do and how they do it. It's two full days of nothing but HUD. No breaks, no nothing. We'll just break for lunch, but it's going to be jam-packed of nothing but HUD. And that's coming up in May. If anybody wants more information, we don't even have a website set up for it yet, but it's going to be in May 22nd, 23rd, I believe. That's a Friday and a Saturday in Charlotte. So if you want to get more information on that, we'll be sending out some emails, I'm sure. But, you know, you could call the office if you wanted to get more info on that. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Larry.
Yes,
this is Norman from California.
Hey, Norman. How you doing?
I'm fine. Hey, do you have a source for those foreclosure signs we've just been talking about?
Well, there's a lot of places you can get them. You can get them at yardsignswholesale.com. You can get them at banditsigns.com or any local place. If you call banditsigns.com and you tell them you want the foreclosure signs that Larry Goins uses, they'll know exactly what you're talking about.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. That's where I get all my signs now, is banditsigns.com.
Larry, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Are all contracts assignable? I know if you do it some, as it maybe, I don't know if HUD is assignable, it's like some REOs are not assignable.
Well,
that work?
Most contracts you're going to get, most properties you're going to get under contract with realtors are not assignable. And it will specifically say in the contract that it's not assignable unless agreed to in writing by all parties. Typically, the only contracts that we get that are assignable are basically contracts with individuals where we found the owner of the house. Maybe they called off of our We Buy Houses sign, and we negotiated the contract from there. Then we usually make those we always make those assignable. It's going to have the name of our company, and right beside the name of our company is going to say and or assigns.
Right.
And we usually put up a $50 deposit on those deals.
Well, if you're going to wholesale it, then what is the process then? You do it at the closing, or how do you assign the wholesale fee?
You do it at the closing. You have a separate agreement called an assignment, and then you will assign your contract for a fee of, say, $10,000, and that's your assignment fee. So now your buyer steps into the place of you, and they close on the contract, but you get the assignment fee, and it's one closing. Therefore, you save money on closing costs.
So the seller does not know that I'm assigning this contract. Like, so
you can do it separate, but here's the way I do it, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer in full disclosure. In fact, we closed on a house last week where this was actually a deal that my wife had found. She had bought some furniture from this lady that was moving, and she was living in her brother's house. And I told him, when I went to help my wife pick up the furniture, I said, "So you're moving out. What are you going to do with the house?" So she gave me her brother's number, and I negotiated the deal with her brother. And I told him up front, I said, "Look, I do this all the time. I've got a list of people. I can get your house so I can find a buyer for it. But I'm not going to keep it myself. But here's what I'd like to do. I would like to make $20,000 on the house." And he said, "I don't care what you make on it as long as I get my money."
Right.
So, and he was expecting a 30 to 45 day close. When I called him up a week and a half later and said, "Can you close next Friday?" He was ecstatic.
Okay.
He didn't have any problem with it.
Okay. Just full disclosure then is the best way. So.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, people don't mind. Think about this. If you're on the phone with somebody and say, "Look, you know, I'm in business to make a profit. I got to make a living. I got to feed my family. You know, you don't have a problem with me making any money on your house as long as you get what you need, do you?"
Right.
I mean, if they say, "Well, no, I don't want you to make anything off my house." Well, then they can sell it themselves.
Right, right. But I guess I'm still a little confused. So when you do that assignment, you still have to do it at the closing. You cannot just assign it and then step away, I guess.
Well, yeah, it's going to happen at the closing. No, you're not. You won't find anybody that you can say, "Hey, I have a contract on this house. I want to assign it to you," and they pay you $10,000, and then they close.
Right, right.
2 or 3 weeks later, it doesn't happen like that. You get paid at the closing when they close.
Okay, gotcha. That makes sense.
It's pretty simple. Your attorney will know exactly what to do, or title company.
Cool. Okay, so basically everything happens at the closing then. Yeah.
Good. Anybody else have a question? Anybody else have anything? Well, you guys have had some really good questions tonight. I want you guys to keep up all the good work. And be sure and go out there and make a lot of offers, because to get deals, you got to make offers. Remember, that's the three most important things in real estate is make offers, make offers, make offers. And if I could ever help you with anything in between these calls, please do not hesitate to email me or call me. I am here for you, and I really, really appreciate your business, and I appreciate your confidence in us, and we look forward to hearing your success stories. And like I said, if you need anything at all between these calls, don't hesitate to email or call me. I'm always here for you, and I want you to succeed. So with that, thanks a lot, everybody, for being on. And unless I talk to you before then, I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Thanks,
have a
guys.
Great night.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Larry.
Bye.
Thank you.
Hello?
I think I'll push him on.